we've heard that managing stress is important. I know I've heard this and I used to kind of give it this just huge eye roll because stress is just part of life. There's nothing that we can do to remove stress from our life. It happens outside of our control. It is something that has its ebbs and flows where we have stressful seasons. It's just going to be there. And so there's not much we can do about it, right? That's what I used to think a few years ago. But since then, I have discovered that I was very wrong. And in today's episode, we're going to look at how even though stress is a given, how we manage it allows us to create an environment that our body can live in and thrive in and not have to succumb to the negative aspects of the inevitable stress that's in our life. All right, let's dive in.
You're listening to the PCOS Repair Podcast, where we explore the ins and outs of PCOS and how to repair the imbalances in your hormones naturally with a little medical help sprinkled in. Hi, I'm Ashleen Korchek, and with many years of medical and personal experience with polycystic ovarian syndrome, it is my joy to watch women reverse their PCOS as they learn to nourish their body in a whole new way. With the power of our beliefs, our mindset, and our environment, and the understanding of our genetics, we can heal at the root cause.
Welcome back to the PCOS Repair Podcast, where today we're going to dive into how we can create an environmental bubble around ourselves that incorporates peace and calm and room for enjoying and thriving and being present in our lives, and removing the negative aspects that stress creates in our lives, even though we can't necessarily remove all stressors from our life. But we'll also talk about how we can reduce the amount of stress that actually does enter into our day to day. So first of all, why is managing stress so important when it comes to our hormone health? So there are several key root cause hormones. One of them is cortisol. And cortisol is often referred to as the king hormone because it actually can initiate a cascade of increased insulin effect as well as increased inflammation. And it in and of itself can create all the other root cause hormones to be in an unideal balance. And so when we think about managing our stress, the goal here is how do we keep that cortisol in check? Now, cortisol is not all bad. One of the reasons where we lose energy or we feel like we aren't ready to wake up in the morning and we wake up sluggish or we have an afternoon slump, this is because our cortisol is not optimal. What we want to see happen is we want to see a rise in cortisol and then we want to see it drop off and taper off slowly throughout the day because we want to calm down towards the evening. We don't want to be at our most energetic as we get ready to fall asleep and we want our mind to start calming down. And so while cortisol is supposed to do that, there's a lot of other aspects in our lives that may make us feel like we're having high cortisol, but then at the same time, we feel flat because it was kind of more of an adrenaline rush than a true nice cortisol. And if our cortisol isn't rising, so we don't have enough cortisol towards the first part of the day, that is also a problem. So cortisol in itself is not good or bad. But what we want to do is have a nice cortisol balance. And we create that by creating a bubble for ourselves to live in where we have all of our stressors and schedule and all the things that lead to us feeling rushed and busy and so forth. We get those into a nice routine that helps our cortisol to thrive, that helps our other hormones to not have too high of cortisol or too low of cortisol, so that in response to our cortisol, we can also have a really healthy insulin response, and we can also have a really healthy inflammatory and other PCOS root cause hormones are not being affected negatively by cortisol. So then, what are some of the things that elevate cortisol? I alluded to a couple of them, but what are the ones that raise our cortisol in an unhealthy way, not in the normal, we want to wake up with a nice cortisol boost and then let it taper throughout the day? What are some ones that would cause it to spike or to be overused and burnt out? What are some of the things that are going to lead to that cortisol dysfunction? So first of all, we want to create a nice circadian rhythm. Now, you know my philosophy, if you listen to the podcast at all, is that while there is the best optimal way of doing things, we also need to look at what actually fits into a lifestyle and what is sustainable. So always in a healing mode, we may strive for a more optimal, maybe more strict with something. And so we're going to talk about that. But at the same time, I always want you to realize that there is room, there is wiggle room here. Our bodies are meant to be resilient. They are meant to be fluid. They are meant to work with us. However, when they are struggling, sometimes in a time of healing, we need to be a little bit more strict, and then we can back off to live more in a more fluid lifestyle. So a circadian rhythm is really going to be important to allow our bodies to anticipate our needs. If we are constantly staying up too late, sleeping in, getting up really early some mornings, and our sleep patterns are all over the place, our body can't anticipate what we're going to do. And so that in itself can create chaos. And so when our body knows, oh, my human likes to wake up at 6 a.m., it will start to raise your cortisol a little bit before your normal waking. And by doing so, when you hear your alarm go off or when you naturally wake up, whatever, however you wake up in the morning, when you start to wake up at that normal time for you that you wake up every morning, your body is going to already have some cortisol on board so that you feel like you aren't just dragging and forcing yourself out of bed, out of a dead sleep. Also making sure that we have a good sleep routine at night. So just how we were talking about the cortisol, we want it to rise during the morning, then we want it to taper off and then lower towards the evening. We can support our bodies in doing that by decreasing our stimulation, decreasing our rushing and demands of ourselves in that later part of the day and evening. So what that might look like is that after dinner, you don't expect a whole lot of yourself. It's about unwinding. You know, maybe you go for a walk. Maybe you do some stretching. Maybe you read a book. Maybe you do something that you enjoy that brings you pleasure, but at the same time isn't something that is very taxing activity. So it's something that doesn't require a whole lot of effort on your part. Also, ideally, it wouldn't be something that creates a lot of stress or pressure, like a deadline or something like that. Like when I was in college doing that cramming for a test, trying to finish a term paper at the last minute late at night, those are things that are not going to let your cortisol calm down. So think of those type of things as things that you would want to do more in the morning when you want to ramp up that cortisol, and then towards the evening, allowing yourself a chance to calm down, relax, and let your body settle into sleep mode. That also kind of goes with the unwinding. Unwinding can be an evening thing. Unwinding, it can also be something that we do during the day. So if you start to feel like you are rushing too much, you may need to put breathers into your day, little pauses into your day so that you can reconnect with your breath, reconnect with your presence, so that you're not just so in your head, so in the anxiety and rushing and busy, but also remembering to be a little more present, looking around as you're driving and realizing it's a beautiful day, or even if it's a stormy, dreary day, noticing things around you, taking them in, enjoying what they are, and being a little bit more present in your day is a very good way to help unwind in the moment, even when you're in the midst of busy. Because again, busy happens. Stress happens, but having tools of unwinding throughout the day helps to keep us from getting so tightly wound in that stress and so embedded in that stress. And I want to take a side note here, because I should have said this at the beginning. When we think about stress in our bodies and our hormones, our bodies perceive stress as dangerous. Now, in our current culture, we don't have lions and tigers and bears chasing us on a daily basis. Our daily day-to-day is actually quite safe. I mean, we have moments where something might startle us, but for the most part, we're very safe. What our bodies can perceive as stressful, however, is numerous. And when we perceive stress, oftentimes our body perceives life and death. And so our bodies, when it perceives life and death, it affects our hormones at a very primal level. And for people who are trying to get pregnant, when you are in a life and death situation, this is not a good time to expand your family. So that is a reason why we want to manage our stress. When I say manage our stress, I want you to think about it from the perspective of a child. When you think of a child in a scary situation, maybe there's been an accident, maybe there is something that is a little bit scary that to a child would seem really scary and they don't understand what's going on. It's confusing. There's loud noises. There's people rushing and they don't know what's happening. They require an adult in that moment to pull them aside, to help refocus them and pull them away from the stress, help them to unwind in that moment, so to speak, and to be told it's okay. This is being taken care of. Things are under control. I know it seems loud and chaotic. But this is normal. There's reasons for the noise. There's reasons for the chaos. It is part of the process of taking care of the situation, and things are going to be okay. That helps a child understand what's going on. I want you to think of your body as that child. It has a primal response to the stressors in our lives as a life and death situation. It requires us to come in as the adults and show our bodies, and we'll talk about how to do this, but to show our bodies how to understand that there is no life and death situation, that we have things under control, that our bodies can relax and function normally without releasing the fear and the anxiety hormones that ultimately shut down fertility, that shut down weight loss. Because if your body is in freak out life and death mode, it's going to hang on to those extra calories because it knows that it may need to give you big rushes of glucose in order to run fast enough. It may need to store because there may not be food for a while if we're facing a famine. Your body holds on to things that protect its survival. It's like its own first aid kit. So what we're really looking at here in this episode is how do we calm our bodies down in the midst of the inevitable stress? So we do that through creating a circadian rhythm. We do that through having good sleep habits. We do that by practicing moments of unwinding and breathing and pacing ourselves throughout our day. So think of it as if you have a big to-do list. You need to do these couple things at work. You need to get gas on the way home. You need to stop by and pick up this as an errand. You need to call so-and-so. You need to pay this bill. And you just have all these things rushing in your head. Couple, you know, ways to calm that down is to pace yourself. You have all day to do those things, okay? And a lot of times, the all day that we have, if we learn how to be productive, we actually can get a lot of the things that are rushing through our minds done. However, sometimes the swirling around there in our minds can create a feeling of overwhelm, can create a feeling of, I don't have enough time. And as our minds are thinking those thoughts, our body is thinking, scared. Something's wrong. We don't have control of the situation. We may be in trouble. And so if you can just grab a piece of paper and write down what things need to happen, maybe number them, even if they're not in order, so you don't have to write it out three times, but number them. This needs to happen first, then this, then this, then this. I can, you know, do this while I'm doing this, or I can do this after work, or actually this doesn't even need to happen today. It can be put off until tomorrow or even next week, but schedule it into when you're going to do it so that you don't forget about it, so that you don't have to keep thinking about it. So that as you lay your head down on your pillow to unwind and fall asleep, you're not thinking, oh, shoot, I forgot. I need to do this. I need to do that. If that happens, again, write them down. Make yourself a note. Put a reminder in your calendar to think about it tomorrow. Whatever it is that allows you to keep your head in a space of, I'm focusing on this. Everything's fine. I've got this taken care of. Those are going to be next. I know what I'm about. Do you feel the difference there? This is kind of this unspoken sense that you're going to have to figure out for yourself with your particular details of your day to day. But when we approach the busyness and the stressors in our life in this way, our bodies are able to be like, oh, she's got this. I don't have to stress about this. And it doesn't have to mount the hormonal response that it otherwise would if it felt like we were in a dangerous situation. Okay, so then caffeine always comes up when it comes to cortisol, and so does exercise. So these are ones that are not actually good or bad. So caffeine, this one can really affect our sleep habits. This can really affect our ability to unwind. We can definitely get ourselves over-amped up by having too much caffeine. And so we want to pace ourselves. We want to be mindful of how much and at what times a day we consume caffeine. And for people who have been so chronically stressed, it may be a good idea to limit, reduce, or completely eliminate caffeine use for a couple weeks or months and then bring it back in a very diligent and mindful, moderate amount. If you choose to, you can also stay off of it. There's no necessarily need to be drinking caffeine. But if it's something that you like, that morning coffee and things like that, there's nothing wrong with it. But here's a few tips on how we would want to go about consuming caffeine. First of all, I highly recommend waiting about 90 minutes. So more than an hour, less, you know, somewhere in that hour and a half to 2 hour mark before you have your first caffeine of the day. The reason is that we actually want that cortisol to fully rise in the morning, uninhibited by an artificial stimulus boost. We also want the dopamine to be used up. And that's going to assist us in having quite as big of a dip in the afternoon, making us feel like we need caffeine too late in the day. So if you ever feel like you need caffeine somewhere after 2 p.m., so somewhere between 2 and 5 p.m. in the afternoon, if you feel like you need either a sugar boost or some sort of like carbohydrate-rich snack because you fill your energy tank, or if you feel like you need to drink some caffeine during that time, I want you to strongly consider making sure that you are not drinking caffeine before that hour and a half to 2 hour mark in the morning after waking. And ideally, about that same time every day. So as you think about when you normally wake up, about 2 hours after that normal wake-up time. That second one is exercise. Now, exercise is actually a healthy cortisol boost. It's normal for our blood sugar and our cortisol to go up while running. And while studies show that there's an increase in cortisol from running, those studies don't necessarily follow that far enough out to realistically determine that that's bad. So I think a lot of people hear, oh, exercise boosts your cortisol. We're trying to lower cortisol. Exercise does so much for stress release that the benefits definitely outweigh the negatives here. Now, where this breaks down and falls apart is if you are stressing your body out by over-exercising, and this does not apply to 99% of the population, okay? There are people who are over-exercising to a point where their bodies aren't getting time to recover, and they're kind of stacking on the stressors by how much they're exercising, but you have to be doing an extreme amount and you will notice the negative effects of that. So if you're not noticing any negative effects from exercising other than that you feel a good tired, you sleep better, you may notice that you need more sleep. And that doesn't mean you're wearing your body out. It means that your body is asking for an appropriate amount of sleep. But if you start to feel like you are 100% worn down and you can't recover no matter how much sleep you give yourself, if you're sleeping like, you know, 8 hours a night and you're still overly tired, back it off a little bit if other areas in your life aren't the reason that you're overtired. If you're staying up till midnight and getting up at 8 a.m. on the weekends and you're like, but I slept 8 hours, but during the week you're only getting 6 hours of sleep a night and you're blaming it on your exercise, it's really not the exercise's problem, okay? So I think sometimes when we hear that exercise increases cortisol, it gives us this like, oh, well, I don't have to exercise as hard. Breaking a sweat, getting that blood pumping, getting your heart pumping, going hard on the exercise is a stress reducer, okay? So even though, yes, it raises cortisol, it's having so many benefits beyond that, that it's still very, very, very in the column of benefit, okay? So then the next one that I want to talk about that I think we overlook is rushing. When we are constantly slightly behind to the next thing and we are rushing through our day, we're trying to pack in one more thing, even if it's things like I just need to put an extra little laundry in, or I wanted to clean this out, or just the smallest little things that we're adding in that leave us rushing all day long, that is an enormous stress on our body. When our body feels like it's constantly late and we're watching those stoplights and we're always 5 minutes behind, our bodies feel that. They feel that as we're always pushing, always not quite under control, and it feels scary. Solution there, of course, is to just build in a little bit more time, take a few things off your plate each day, spread them out throughout the week, prioritize, try to streamline what it is that you're doing, trying to make everything just a little bit easier on yourself where possible. Those are all ways that we can reduce the amount of rushing that we have to do within our time. Okay, so then that also kind of plays into living without margin. You know, so when we overbook our schedules, we are living without margin. When we overcommit ourselves, overpromise, take on projects that are bigger than we realize, over time, we learn what we can actually handle without constantly living without margin and constantly living in rush mode. Okay, so then we have three things that we want to talk about that are maybe a little bit more outside of our control and how to approach those so that our bodies can still feel peace and calm, even in the midst of stressful situations outside of our complete control. Infertility might be one of those. PCOS might be one of those. A relationship struggle, a breakup, a interpersonal problem at work or in your family. These are all things that can happen. You know, bad news, a health problem in the family, getting in a car accident, any sort of bad news, bad situation, things that happen. These can cause stress, a financial stress. These are where we will have a spike in cortisol. We can't ignore the fact that in a moment it will hit us. It was unexpected. We will have a spike of cortisol. How we go about handling it on the back end, though, is really going to play a part in how does our body perceive this at a primal level. when we remind ourselves that we'll figure this out, take a deep breath. There are options here. We can look to expert assistance. We can ask somebody for help. We can, if you start to give yourself that there are options, you don't even have to settle on an option. But as soon as you take a deep breath and you let yourself know this isn't all on you, that in itself will take a weight off. Fears and anxieties kind of fall into this. We can get ourselves really far ahead by going down the path of what if, what if, what if. And I would encourage you to start, instead of doing the what if negative, to, as soon as you catch yourself doing that, to also put in the what if positive and focus on those. So this could be like, let's use infertility as an example, since I know it's on a lot of people's minds. What if I can't get pregnant? What if this doesn't work for me? What if I'm not good enough with my diet? What if, what if, what if, what if? That holds us scared. It puts a knot in our stomach. It makes us want to choke up and cry. When we hear of a baby shower or we hear of a friend that's pregnant, we tense up. We feel the emotions. When we can flip that on, I am doing this for my health. This is why I'm doing such and such. And I'm going to add this in. Or there's this new idea I have. I'm going to do that too. It builds hope. It builds resilience. It builds action. And it builds confidence in ourselves that, you know what? I have this problem and I'm taking care of it. I'm working towards a solution. No, we don't have the answers yet. No, we haven't had the outcome that we want yet. But do you feel that swap in when we look towards the positive of what are we going to do about it? When we take on ownership of that, instead of just letting the fears, maybe you have a fear of abandonment. Maybe you have a fear of a danger, like a getting hurt, of something bad happening. All of those type of things, they may be irrational, they may be rational. But when we take a place of, hey, look, maybe I worry about my spouse not wanting to deal with all of this anymore, or what actively can you do about it? Well, you can grow the relationship that you want, right? Now, can you control them? Can you make them want to be a part of it? No, you can't do that. But what you can do is create a place that's so wonderful that they'd kind of be an idiot to not want that, right? So there's a way of taking those fears of worrying that this infertility struggle is going to be too much for a spouse. Now, most spouses, when we ask them, they're like, no, I'm worried about what my partner's having to go through with this because there's little that I can do. It's kind of all on her with this whole PCOS thing. I don't fully understand it. I don't know how to support her. I don't want to pressure her, but I want her to know that usually that's what's going through the partner's mind, but we can get in our own mind about, I'm broken. I'm not working. I'm the problem. Why would they want to be with me? And that can become a really big fear and anxiety for women with PCOS. And I'm just using it as an example, but think about any sort of relationship, like maybe you worry about your position at work, or you worry about a friendship, or you worry about, if I don't go to a baby shower, is my friend going to understand? Like so many interpersonal things that we can stress about and work ourselves up into, or gossip that we've heard, or there's so many personal relationship things that can be stressful. Family stresses is, and a whole nother one. If we, instead of taking those anxieties and spinning them around and around and around in our minds in a negative capacity, if we can take those and create a positive spin on them, as in, this is what I'm going to do about it. This is what I'm going to do for them. This is how I'm going to talk about it. This is how I'm going to bring them on board. This is how I'm going to support them through this, because this is what we're dealing with. And I'm being asked by the universe to rise to this occasion. And I can do that. We can simplify it down by finding some quiet time in our minds. Finding a place in nature, in your home that's kind of like your little comfortable place, on a walk, in your shower, in your car, somewhere where you can have a quiet moment to collect your thoughts and exchange the negative spin to a positive action-filled movement of, these are the things that I can do, and this is going to make me feel stronger and more confident in the face of these fears and stressors. So in summary of today's episode, the importance is not trying to remove or ignore the stressors that come into our lives, or to tell ourselves that, oh no, I'm not really worried about that, or that's ridiculous, I don't need to worry about that. But to honestly acknowledge them and to take that parent-child relationship with the fear, the stress, and remind ourselves that everything's fine because of this and that. Not a arbitrary, oh, I'm just going to say everything's fine. But finding a way to put it into a positive way of the things that you're going to do, of the things that it's going to provide you, of that this is going to spur me on to do these things that I've been wanting to do anyway, and this is the reason I'm going to go ahead and do it today. finding those confident boosting, energy boosting ways of thinking about the stressors that come into our life not only leaves us with a much happier outlook on life, but it also allows our bodies to calm down, to feel safe, to feel secure, to feel like it can breathe and relax and feel grounded and at peace. So there you have it, my friend. I hope that you found today's episode helpful. And if you did find this episode helpful, I hope you subscribe to the podcast so that you are notified each and every week when a new episode of PCOS Health becomes available. And until next time, I would love to connect with you over on Instagram. And I would like to hear if you want to kind of go do some back and forth on what it is that are your stressors. If you're struggling to turn those stressors around into positive ways of feeling about them, thinking about them, and taking action on them, I would be more than happy to have that conversation with you over on Instagram. Just send me a DM at nourishtohealthy, and I look forward to connecting with you over there. And until next time, bye for now.
Did you know that studies of PCOS epigenetics have shown that our environment can either worsen or completely reverse our PCOS symptoms? I believe that although PCOS makes us sensitive to our environment, it also makes us powerful. When we learn what our body needs and commit to providing those needs, not only do we gain back our health, but we grow in power just by showing up for ourselves. This is why I've created a guide for you to get started. My PCOS Fertility Meal Guide can be found in the show notes below. I want to show you how to create an environment that promotes healing while still being able to live a life that you enjoy. This guide is completely free, so go get your copy now so that you can step into the vision that you have for your life and for your health.